William Morrow and Harper Audio present Death and the Maiden by Ariana Franklin and Samantha Norman, performed by Kate Redding. Chapter 1. Ely Cathedral's almoner, Brother Anselm, stood at his gate, flapping his arms to ward off both the insidious cold and the crushing boredom. The great freeze had come unexpectedly, bleaching the landscape overnight and choking the reeds and riverbanks in frost. "Not a soul," he murmured, as he looked out unhappily over the infinite, frozen waste. Not a soul, not even the poor, it seemed, were hungry enough to venture out in this weather. He glanced down at the sack of food on the ground at his feet, surplus from yesterday's table, wondering what on earth he would do with it all. Perhaps feed it to the swans, although it would be a waste. On the other hand, it was better to scatter it over the frozen pond and feed something, rather than haul it back to the undercroft, where it would be left to rot. And yet, what else could he do? So far, he hadn't had so much as a glimpse of a single member of the Wadlow family, whose poverty-sharpened features and grubby outstretched hands were as much a feature of his gate as the hinges it hung on. It was too cold even for such as they to be tempted from their cot, where, according to local gossip, they lived off water rats. "Primitive, brother, them Wadlows. Like animals, they are," their scandalized neighbours hissed. But Brother Anselm couldn't get too worked up about rats. They were nourishment of sorts, after all. Not that he'd have eaten one himself unless he was starving, mind you, but when it came down to it, rats were no worse than squirrels, and were at least in plentiful supply, even in the depths of winter. He wouldn't have dared say any of this out loud, of course. To apologize for the Wadlows was to have opprobrium heaped on one. Nevertheless, he hoped they were eating something today, keeping body and soul together somehow. Perhaps it was the image of the family in their dilapidated hut, with its larder full of rats, that made him shiver. But whatever it was, he suddenly felt so bitterly cold that no amount of arm clapping or jumping up and down could warm him up. The only sensation he had left was the unpleasant chafing on his upper thigh from the eel skin garter one of the abbey fishermen had given him to ward off the rheumatism. And then, at last, God be praised, the bell rang for terce, releasing him at last from his frozen sojourn. He bent down, hefted the sack onto his shoulders, and was about to return to the almonry when a gaggle of children came running over the meadow toward him. "Wait, brother, wait," they called out, their voices shrill and excitable, as they jostled one another to be the first in line to greet him. He smiled at the small bodies swarming around his legs, the dark heads dipping like pigeons at the sack as a tangle of nimble fingers sifted and grabbed at the offerings it held. When the last piece of food had been stuffed into the very last mouth, the children nodded gratefully and left as quickly as they had come. "Goodbye, Brother Anselm," they called back as they scampered across the frosted meadow. "See you tomorrow." He smiled and waved until they disappeared into the mist, and was about to turn his back on the gate for a second time, when he heard a whistle and a voice. "Nice arse." It was a girl's voice, several girls' voices, in fact, coming from somewhere up the lane. He turned around and froze, a familiar terror thumping in his ears as the pack sauntered down the track.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?